this church. I don't want to make people stand up because I don't want to single out people who maybe aren't involved, but the number of people that it takes to set up and tear down and practice worship, and I'm so grateful for our worship teams. You guys bless me again and again and again, and you're such incredible gifts to me and gifts to us. And we don't say thank you enough. We really don't. And we love you guys. Amen? Is that true? For sure. So we have a number of you that work behind the scenes, and you are kind of quietly serving, and I just want to highlight you and say thank you to all the ways that you serve the River Church. And you're such a blessing to us and to me. The times I show up on Sunday and I have people helping me set up is such a blessing. Just to be together and know that we are together doing this. Many of you have embraced the value of being engaged. You want to use your gifts. You want to serve in whatever capacity. You serve well with a towel. And so thank you for embracing that value of being engaged. And of course, we long for more of that, and we just encourage that and pray into that. Many of you have been attracted to the River Church because we are kind of this hospital. Many of you, early on in our early years, because of numerous experiences in life and in church, you came wounded, and you had maybe a faltering experience or understanding of God and church, and you came and you found safety in the river, and you experienced God's grace. And for many of you, the River Church has been a hospital and is a hospital. And we want to say that we value that. We value the importance of this place being a place where we can heal and be restored. But we are not just a hospital. If we were just a hospital, I think we would be missing half of the good news. God heals us by His grace, and in time, He then equips us and sends us out. We begin to serve in the church. We begin to use our gifts. We begin to serve in ways in the community. And we begin to live the kingdom in new ways, not out of our brokenness, but out of this place of new healing. So we are both a hospital and as well a sending agent. We are making a difference in our community, and we see the effects at the River Church and how God is using the river in our community, and we thank God for that. We're not going to go through and read the ministry reports. Those reports are at the back, and each of those reports highlight individuals. So we have people that are serving in the margins, quietly, set up team, coffee team, book and table, greeters. We have multiple people serving, but we also have people serving in a bigger capacity. We encourage people in our church to serve in two big areas, but also in two small areas. So we have multiple people serving in small areas, but we have people serving in big areas as well. We have worship leaders, like I already said. We have Claudia, who runs the worship and prayer, I should say prayer ministry coordinator. We have elders, Claudia, Jeff, Stuart, Peter. We have Richard Hoshino, who runs the men's ministry and helps with the house church. And you and Jim are such a beautiful team working together, and you just add so much to our lives, and particularly our men as well. And we just want to honor you and say thank you. I wish Jim was here. We would honor him as well. We have Andrew Kennedy just recently has stepped up into a role of missions coordinator, and you're going to hear from him next Sunday. Dorothy also is on that team. Kenda, there's a number of things that Kenda is responsible for here in the River Church. And some of you might think that her primary task is to teach River kids. That has never been her primary task. She's done that. Her primary task is to oversee the River Church ministry and to foster leadership and to see that ministry grow. But her number one ministry is not teaching. So when you see her taking a step back after 12 years, it's not that she's no longer functioning and using her gifts in this church. She does a number of other things, and those things are listed in the pastor's report. Overseeing River Kids Ministries is something she still does, but there's many other things that she's involved in. We are co-pastors. Some of you are not familiar with that model. Some of you are still not comfortable with that. It comes out in some of your dialogue. You still like me as your pastor and Kent as the pastor's wife. I would really like it if that term is actually scratched out and obliterated, whited out from our vocabulary. Kenda is much more than a pastor's wife. You understand? Yeah. So we are co-pastors. We are a team. When God called me to plant a church, He called us to plant a church. It was our unified vision, and I couldn't do what I'm doing without Kenda. We are co-pastors. So everybody, just want to clarify that. Some of you, that's a new model. You're not familiar with that. Some of you, secretly, in your heart, you're still comfortable with the man being in charge. But we are co-pastors. We are a team. Peer-to-peer. Eye-to-eye. There's some other things that I do there as well, a list of that. So that is in the pastor's report. Any questions around that part of this morning before we move on? Any questions? Good to go? All right, Jeff, you're going to come up and he's going to quickly burn through. This is going to be the funnest financial report ever. Sure, because I don't want to give you this. It would be too weird.
There. Whoa. All right. Before I jump into it right away, I just want to say a couple things. We talked, in Darcy's sermon, he talked a little bit about being out of the box, and it's one of the things that I really appreciate about this church. And because I have the privilege of talking about money, which is everybody's favorite topic, I thought I would say a few words with that. I grew up in a church where the pastor often said, you need to be given 10%. He always had that number there and really confined it. And I actually have some friends who go to a church where they were youth pastors at the time, and every year they have to submit their tax assessment to show that they actually gave 10%. It's part of being on staff. If you're an elder, you have to submit your tax forms. These things actually exist. And so they're held into account that they actually give 10%. And so what I love is that number has never been used in my 7 years here. Sacrificial giving is the principle in Scripture. In Philippians, Paul celebrates what the people in Macedonia gave to help him with his ministry, but he doesn't put a number on what that was. He celebrates their gift. And the funny thing about the people in Macedonia is they came from a very kind of a nice area of the country and a very desirable place to be, yet the cost of living was extremely high, the housing was extremely expensive, and jobs were scarce for them, and so they were in a very poor state, which sounds very similar to kind of some of the areas around here where we've lost 35 people because of housing prices. And yet Paul celebrates the gift. And so what we want to do is we want to celebrate the sacrificial giving that each one of us have come together and to make happen and honor that. So with that, I want to move forward. If we can go to the next slide, we're just going to, what I've done is hopefully you can see it, is I've put up some numbers onto the board, onto the PowerPoint, because usually when I read spreadsheets of financial statements, I just start drooling on myself, and it's not really very helpful. So what I've done is I put together a PowerPoint that is simplified that I can understand it, and hopefully I don't insult your guys' intelligence, but this is for me. So we'll go with that. So in 2016, we had an income of $162,000, and in 2017, income of $160,000. So you can see that there's about a $2,000 drop in our income from 2016 to 2017. And part of that has to do with a lot of the numbers of people that have moved away and rebuilding, and you look around and we're nice and full now, but in April and May it was starting to get a little bit scarce. And so we ended up with a drop in our income. But if we move into the next slide, we'll start seeing some different changes that happen. So in 2016 we had expenses that totaled of $160,000. And in 2017, we had expenses that totaled $157,000. So we managed to pare things back and shrink them down. So some of the things that we did to drop our expenses is we no longer use the gym. We don't rent the gym for services. Instead, we've got a spot in the back hallway, which is free. And we use that for the River Kids when we do it. We've done different cost savings like that. Our bookkeeper has found some other really tremendous cost-saving measures with our bank fees. We've changed over to Tithely instead of Canada Helps, which Canada Helps was much more expensive. So we've done a few things like that to bring down our expenses in general. I've separated out the missions line. So we have our total expenses are $157,000. I've separated out $4,300 for missions. And the reason I've separated that out is I think it would be great to see that number increase. And so, and I know I've talked to, you know, others as well and talked recently with Darcy, and we think that that would be good. You know, there's that idea of trying to build in the kingdom outside of our own self, you know, and as a church to give outside of that. Can you go to the next slide, please? So here we have, at the end of 2016, we had about $4,500 in the bank account for cash flow. And at the end of 2017, we had almost $8,000 in there. So this is a number that allows us the cash flow. So if we have expenses that happen in a month that build up more, we end up dipping into line of credit. We end up going into deficit and back and forth. So it's really important that we have a healthy cash flow going on in there. I would personally like to see there being the equivalent of 2 months worth of giving in there so that we could you'd kind of relax on a few things. When some things come up, we can make choices that will help. One of the examples I'd like to give is we had an opportunity to we were asked if we could help with a special gift for a missionary. And a lot of the churches, I guess, that were helping this missionary were asked the same question. And it wasn't much. I think it was $200 or $250 that we were asked. And at the time, we were in the deficit. So we had, like, negative monies in the account. And we just said, well, that wouldn't be, we can't do that. Like, go take out more debt for that. And so we ended up having to say no to helping somebody with a $250 gift. What would be great is if we can build that cash flow so when those opportunities come up, we could just step right in and we can help and we can partner in the kingdom work in that way. So that's a summary of 2016, 2017. If you like more details, there's a better summary in the back. And if you need even more details, we could get you a detailed breakdown of where everything was spent. The books are open. We don't hide where the money goes. So it's available to anybody who wants to see that. So looking forward to 2018, just a real quick snapshot. If we go to the next slide there, please. One more. So there's a couple factors that are playing in as we try to move forward creating a budget. And so we don't have that for you right now. But I want to just dream a little bit. So what if we increased our giving for 2018 to 168,000? Okay? So go forward there, Glenn, please. So that's just an increase of 3%, which is $4,800 over the course of the year, $93 a week, and if 15 family groups come together, it's like between $4 and $12 per week per family group of 15. So it's not a significant amount, but what if we did? What if we partnered together and we all helped out that one extra little bit and made that forward? Well, that would allow us to increase our ministry's budget by like 1.7%, which isn't a lot, but it is an increase, which allows us the freedom to step in and partner with other aspects and to be able to provide in other ways. It would allow us to increase our missions giving by 10% of what we're doing. So now instead of 4,300, we're going to give 47. We'd be able to do these increases. So these are things that we could do together, and it's just a small amount that we can increase. And I'd just like us to dream together about that. The other thing it allows us to do, Glenn, is increase our cash flow. So if we can increase the cash flow to like $9,700, now all of a sudden that gives us 3 weeks reserve, and we're taking one step closer to having sort of a safety net there, which is a wise and prudent way to handle our finances. You know, it's kind of amazing actually going into 2018 with the finances, because there's already been things that we've done that have affected it. So I have up there a general ministries increase of 1.7%. But the reality is, in the summer, we had several services that we had at the lake, so we didn't pay rent. We've now moved our church office from the place where we were, which has decreased our rent for the church office by half. And so those changes alone actually have impacted our 2018 financial position by about 2.7%. So when you add 2.7 to the 1.7, Nelson, our general ministry's budget, can increase by $7,000. And how much more can we do with that? And now we've taken a step in one direction. And in 2019, maybe we can step the next way. And I'm just trying to have a vision and dream and see where we're going. We just celebrated our 12-year, right? Which was a significant number through scriptures, right? 12 apostles, the 12 sons of Jacob. When they crossed the Jordan, each of the 12 tribes came back with 12 stones and made that marker there and moved forward. So now we're entering into year 13. And what does God have planned before us as we've crossed over that threshold? And I just want to dream a little bit as we go into that. So, thank you.
Nine minutes. I wasn't counting, but it was 9 minutes. No, that's great. Thank you, Jeff. Did really well. That was really clear. We want to take some time now. We're going to vote in our couple new elders. And so our current elders right now, Stuart Bent is the chair. We've got Peter Lang is just about served 3 full terms. So we've got 1 year left. He's finishing out his last year. We have Claudia, who's just been elected this last year, 2016. And Stuart was just elected. Jeff was just elected as well. So we've got some new people on the board currently. Kenda sits in as a staff member at most board meetings, and as well as pastor, I am part of the board. So we've gone through a nomination process. A number of you have nominated these two individuals. We then, as elders, sat down with them and we interviewed them, and we encouraged them to take 3 to 4 months and pray. Hey guys, to pray and to just listen, right? Again, the voice of Jesus. So we have ballots on the table. We have also ballots up here. And if you are a member, as far as law is concerned, only members can vote. So if you're an adherent, it's going to take a couple of minutes. So maybe stretch and grab a coffee, but we would encourage the membership to grab a ballot right now. Get up and grab a ballot. And we trust that you've been reading emails, you know who we're voting in, and vote and fold that up and put it in the box.
crazy. It's the most awesome 40-0 ever. It's all up.
How are you? Good. You're hanging in there? You have 3 more days left on the block.
Yeah. Just played rugby.
All right. No? Do you need? Everybody filled out a ballot? For Peter and Stuart, they're going to count that, and I'm going to just wrap things up. You know, I had prepared a pastor's report, and I, as I was writing it up, I was feeling perhaps that there was something else I needed to share, probably a little bit more vulnerable. And I think I'm going to shift gears and take the vulnerable route. First of all, I want to say thank you for those of you who have journeyed with us these 12 years. It's been quite a journey. And we knew that when we dove in, it was going to be kind of that white knuckle ride, all you can do is pray kind of journey. And it has been that. Church planting is a way of being kind of the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So, but we celebrate God's faithfulness, and many of you have journeyed with us for these 12 years. You've been with us, thick or thin. And I often look back as a pastor on the 12 years, and there are definitely things to celebrate and things that we've done, decisions made that I can celebrate and hear my father say, well done. But there are times and things, decisions made, ways I've responded at times where I look back and go, oh, I wish I could have that moment over again. If I could do some things over again, I would have. And so obviously, just like you, this is a growing journey. We're in process just like you are. And where would we be without God's grace? So thank you for being gracious to Kenda and I as your pastors these 12 years. Through the highs and the lows. One of the things that the board has pointed out to me this year has been occasionally in a board setting when they would maybe say a hard word to me or challenge me in some area, occasionally I would get defensive. And I'm pretty comfortable with that. I knew that. I've known that for quite some time. But it's amazing just this last season how God, by His Spirit, has been going after some things in my own life. And God's been using the board and different friends to point some of those things out. It's interesting this year, as we've been journeying as Faith on Tap men, we've been looking at some possible books to read in this coming year, and I came across this book called Sacred Enneagram I'm not going to go into detail what an Enneagram is, but the writer of it said, he said this statement, and immediately it felt like God's voice. I just knew it was God's voice to me. Said, sometimes we can latch on to a certain piece of our personality that feels particularly comfortable. It fits our role that we've grown up with. It fits kind of who we are. And we latch onto that piece of our personality and it becomes bigger than it really needs to be or should be. And at some point, God begins to go after that because there's so much more to us than just one little piece. And immediately I knew what God's Spirit was saying to me. You see, a few months prior to that, there was a group of some of you that came to our house, and on our patio, we talked about strategy. And some shakers, movers, people, some new folks in our church that have visionary kind of folks, and somebody said to me, out of the blue, said to the team, Darcy, there's something about the River Church that sometimes feels like our identity is weakness. Sure, we're a hospital and we're a safe place for people to heal. But there's something I pick up occasionally that our identity is weakness and it's not good. There's something unhealthy about it. And immediately I was going, is that for the church to begin to unpack? Is that it for the elders to unpack? Or does that say something to me? So I began to sit with that, with the Holy Spirit. And so then I read this quote on this Enneagram, and immediately the word that God gave me was, Darcy, you relate well to weakness. Strength and weakness is your motto, 2 Corinthians 12, strength and weakness. But you often take the role of weak. And in some situations, particularly strong A-type male leaders, when they confront me, I don't see them as my equal. I see them, I'm the weak one, and so I can then become defensive. And lately, God has been saying to me, you're not the weak one. You're actually peers, eye to eye. You need to stop seeing yourself as weak. You are strong in the Lord, and that part of you, that identity piece, God began to speak into that and say, you're not the weak one. You're actually strong in the Lord. Interesting, right around the same time, a pastor in town who is an A-type, in-your-face kind of leader, and we've kind of gone toe-to-toe sometimes, and my posture, I told him, I said, sometimes you come across like a bully. And what I've grown up growing up is I either take a weak position and I allow myself to be bullied, or I actually overcompensate and then you get my anger. And I said, and you've got my anger. But it hasn't come from a healthy place. So lately God's been saying, and interesting, now I've taken some steps to reconcile and to work on stuff, but it's interesting. My posture has now changed with that man, and I am not the weak one. I am a peer, and in fact, in some cases, God, I know, has something to teach him through my life. My stance, my position, my identity is changing. God is calling out some strength in me in this season of our life as a church. And it's not just for my own relationships and how I relate to the board. All things, those things are important. But I believe that God has something bigger in mind. For such a time as this, God is raising up, and I trust He's doing a good work in each of you as well. In fact, somebody emailed me just the other day and said, I find myself in this sweet spot in my faith, and I hope and trust that God is doing the same thing in the rest of the church. Because, and I hear that and I go, God, what are you doing? What new thing are you calling us to that's going to require strength? I get excited about that. So I wanted to share from my own life how God is working in me, because it relates so well to what I believe God is saying to us. I put something on your tables, and it's something called an urban monastery. I don't know if for you, I've always had this dream of a building for us as a church. And when we moved here, people said to us, you don't need a building. You can rent. Buildings are, you don't need to be saddled with a building and a mortgage, and we don't need traditional church buildings. And so I've heard this, but after being here 12 years, I firmly believe that we need a building. That this is the next hurdle for us as a church. But it won't be a traditional church building. I wish Kenda was up here. We would describe to you what we would call an urban monastery. And just the name of that gives us life. It's far bigger than just a traditional church building. If you have the description of what that is, it's on your tables. There is a description here, but essentially a urban monastery is a place where people can come, find spiritual retreat, receive spiritual direction, where any time of the day, 24/7, there's a prayer room where they can come and be quiet and pray. It's a safe place for the community to come. There would also be programs, different things that would run out of that facility that would provide outside income. But we believe that this would be kind of a combination of a retreat house, a mission station, a hostel, a school, art center, outdoor adventure, launch pad, a powerhouse for a local community. There's a number of things that would come under that umbrella of urban monastery. In fact, it has seven components. First would be prayer. It would be a driving force for prayer. It would be a power station for spiritual transformation for individuals and for people. It's also a place of creativity where people can foster the arts and we believe full well that God uses the arts in tremendous ways to break down barriers and to touch people's hearts. Be this place where people can begin to cultivate this relationship with a creator God who's incredibly creative. It's also a place where people can pilgrimage. Maybe there would be some beds for hostels. Maybe not. I don't know. But that would be a long-term kind of vision where people are already coming to Squamish to play. What if people came to Squamish and found and encountered Jesus as part of their play, as part of their adventure? So often we separate those things and people often say to me, oh yeah, the outdoors is the idol in Squamish, isn't it? And I go, oh, yeah, for some it might be, but God is using that. That is, we actually honor that. We believe that that's how God has made us. And what if people found a place like an urban monastery where they came for an adventure, and in that adventure they actually encountered Jesus? They actually grew in their faith. What if we provided guided kind of adventure experiences for people that came to Squamish, and in that place they actually encountered Christ and were transformed? So it would also be a place of pilgrimage and outdoor adventure base camp. Be a place where mission begins to happen. It's a place of justice. And ultimately a place of community where people find their belonging and know that they belong. I'd love to give more time and more space to this, but that at least is a piece of our dream. You know, it's interesting. Every time, I'm not reading through the Bible religiously this last couple of years, but I go through seasons where there's these ebbs and flows where I open my Shane Claiborne Book of Prayer, and they have scripture passages there that I read. Every time I go back to that book of prayer, guess where the texts are? Ezra, Nehemiah, and Song of Solomon, where it's talking about building the temple. It's laying foundations. It's cutting wood. It's timbers. I just see that as, God, are you trying to say something to me? I think we're supposed to build. And yes, we have some small incremental steps. I have a vision, and we're going to have to put a team together to begin to see what is it going to take to actually see this vision come alive. But I feel that today I needed to put my, like Moses did with the Red Sea, to put my rod in the water and say, okay, this is my step of faith. We're going to go public with the vision. And I'm not asking for consensus from you right now. And I'm not asking as well for alignment. That's later. What I'm asking from each of you is simply what we heard in the message this morning. That our yes, our response to Jesus will simply be yes. I met with my spiritual director this last Friday. And I shared with him what God is doing in me personally as a man and as a leader. And unpacked that with him. It was a beautiful time. But one of the last things he said to me, Darcy, strength will continue to emerge in you, but it's Jesus that's going to call it out. And it's actually Christ going to be living that strength through you. And all you need to do is continually every day make yourself available to Jesus and let your response to Jesus be simply yes. So I'm not asking for consensus from you and I'm not asking for alignment. All I'm asking is would your response to Jesus be simply yes? Whatever that might mean to us collectively and whatever it might mean for you individually, may your response be yes. The first miracle that Jesus did was in the wedding of Canaan, right? Remember those good words that Mary said? What did Mary say when they ran out of water? He said to the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Good advice. I want that to be our motto. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, let's do it. The camera just said, just do it. Amen. We're running out of time, so I just want to say, if you have any questions, and I hope you do, please come and talk. We want to unpack this with you, but we want you to dare to dream. I firmly believe that God has made us unique as a church. We are a bunch of Frank Gehrys. The River Church is that. He's called us to be unique. He's called us to embrace it. And if your vision for your life doesn't scare you, maybe it's too small. And this scares me. It's way too big for me. And I think that tells me it's in the right direction. So let's pray. And then the elders will come up and give us the results. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you this vision, this dream. And it's by faith that we even voice it out. It's by faith that I voice it out. It's really just a step of faith and step of obedience to let the cat out of the bag. And so we pray, Lord, that as this dream is now released, may it be released into our own hearts and our own minds. And Holy Spirit, what you do with this dream in each of our individual lives and what you do with it collectively is going to be amazing. I think together we are going to see this dream even become richer and far more vibrant. So I thank you for each person that you've called to the river in this season with unique gifts and abilities and passions and desires. And you're doing something, you're orchestrating something, and we just want to be obedient. And so we give it to you. And we simply say yes. Our answer is yes, whatever that might look like. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Stuart? Chair?
Total.
Yeah, so...
No numbers.
Yeah, no numbers. But we want to welcome Dorothy and Andrew as our two new elders in the River Church. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. You know, as a church, we so value people from all the different gifts and abilities that we have, we all bring something different to the table. And our elder board isn't just so that they now can contribute to us as a church. That's a big piece. But each of these elders and our current board, we enter into this dynamic where God is now going to work in each of your lives in new ways. Right, Dorothy? And Andrew? And for all of us. God is going to, you are now going to be diving into a little incubating, right? And God by His Spirit is going to do something beautiful in you. There's some things that are going to emerge in you that are going to be pretty, pretty amazing. And God's going to use you in our lives, and we're going to, actually, God's going to use us in your lives as well. So something I say to all our board, we check our ego at the door, and we take this role with humility, trusting that God is going to give us good gifts and that we will be a good gift. So we are excited. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Worship team's going to end with a song. We need to wrap things up pretty quick, but Joy Box is in the back. And thanks so much for being here. We love you all.
Feel free to visit, do whatever you want while we're